Y'all heard?
One, two, three. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
This is Y'all Heard, a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
are not related.
And this is a show where Marissa plays Will Smith and I play DJ Jazzy Jeff. Together, we exemplify friendship and fun, and we keep each other in check because we're so much more palatable together than apart. Eventually, we collaborated and won the Grammy for Best Rap Performance in 1989. Also, Marissa slapped Chris Rock.
I could only dream. In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. I pause to give you a chance, and you never take your chance, so that's the problem.
Well, how am I today, Marissa? I'm not even an hour outside of arguing with someone about the bathroom.
In your job?
Verbally.
Where you work?
Yeah, where I work.
No, I'm sorry. I just said your job or where you work. Yeah. I mean your job or your house. Okay, where you work.
Yeah, there's a kid who comes up every Tuesday and Thursday. He spends a half an hour in the bathroom, and he doesn't flush when he leaves. Leaves
Is
a bunch
a
of
kid?
Toilet paper and shit in there. Yeah. And today he came up, and I banged on the door.
Oh, man, you're unhinged.
But you know what? Like, there's so many things bothering me right now. I'm sure many things are bothering everybody out there.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is the one I'm going to break on.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to leave the bathroom at a certain point, and then he waited for me out in the hallway.
Wait. Okay. It's a one-person bathroom?
It's a one-person bathroom, yes.
How did he... So you banged on it...
And the bathroom is clearly labeled staff only.
But... So you needed to use it, and that's why you banged on it?
Yes.
Okay, so then you both saw each other. That's how he knew to wait for you?
No. Are there windows on your bathrooms? No, I banged on the door, and he knew that there was only one other staff member... who is male, on the floor.
Oh. Okay.
And he goes, you can use the bathroom now. And I was like, I already did. I had to go downstairs to do it. Like.
But then again, this is a student?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he chastised me for disrespecting him by banging on the door.
What do you mean? No. You can't glaze over that. Chastise you how?
Verbally.
What did he say?
I don't remember exactly, but like that I wasn't showing him respect by banging on the door. And I said, you're not showing respect by using the bathroom that you're not supposed to use. And he says, I like this bathroom because it's clean. And I'm like, it's not clean after you leave it. That's the problem.
Whoa.
So I don't know if I should like report myself to HR.
Stop leaving gaps. You need to tell us how it ended.
Oh, he got on the elevator and left. He didn't have an argument. He wasn't going to win the argument.
Can you just report him for continuously using the staff bathroom?
I don't know who he is.
Did you do anything that bad that you could be reported for HR? Did you really like go berserk though?
No, but you know, like, you know the customer's always right. We have a very much customer is always right policy because the doors close without students.
Can you at least put a sign on it that's like absolutely no one can use this bathroom except for staff?
I mean, it says staff only, student bathrooms are downstairs, or student bathrooms are on the fifth floor. And on the inside of the bathroom, I put up a sign that said, Are you too shy or are you too ashamed to use a toilet stall in a regular bathroom? If you are, the counseling center can help you.
Wait, are you joking?
No.
Was this up today or did you put this up after he left?
No, it was up while he was in there today.
Wow. That's a lot.
It is. It's a lot. And again, like, I understand his perspective of you can't say who can and can't use bathrooms.
Yes, you can.
But.
Yes, you can.
There are 10 bathrooms. I'm sorry. I got my math wrong. There are 10 male bathrooms. There are 20 bathrooms between the first floor and the sixth floor. On the sixth floor, there's only 2 bathrooms, one for men and one for women. And they only have one toilet in each. And this kid goes out of his way to come up, camp out in the bathroom for a half hour, take a massive shit, realize he can't flush it, and then sneak out of the bathroom and leave.
Well, the only argument about you can't tell people, like, is if he was, like, trans or gender non-binary and your bathroom was non-gendered. But is yours a male bathroom?
I think it says male, yeah.
Otherwise, you can say who could use it. Because I can't go into a store and walk into the back of the store and use their bathroom when it's a staff-only bathroom. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You're allowed to do that?
Yeah.
So, whoever has told you that you're not allowed to tell people what bathrooms they could use is incorrect, and that child has gotten in your head.
I contacted facilities and asked if we're allowed to put a lock on the door.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Did they respond?
No, no, not okay. yet. I said, is this unreasonable?
I would say no, especially if they keep taking shits.
Because the other thing is, when the toilet gets clogged like that, I have at least this much respect for myself. I'm not going to stand there and flush someone else's shit down the drain. My boss did. He was like, I had to flush 3 times, but eventually I got it to go down. I contact facilities and say, that kid came by again and he clogged up the toilet. Can you send somebody up? So it actually helps facilities if they do put a lock on the door.
Yeah, that's wild that kid be doing that. I would never have the balls to use the staff bathroom to shit in all the time.
I would never have the balls to walk away from a toilet that I shit in without it being flushed.
I mean, if it's clogged, you don't have a choice. But yeah, that's really weird. Huh. Anyway
Marissa, how are you?
I'm fine, I guess. This is more of a just telling Pete personally thing, but just so you know, I'm still trying to figure out my taxes. And it's days away. Yeah, that's not even exciting to anyone, so I'm not going to get into the details.
I still have to do my local taxes.
See, it's a fun thing.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'll just quickly tell you all. Funny thing is, me and my husband used to live in Philly. Also, I wasn't self-employed. So, like, we didn't have to separately pay local taxes. You never had to do anything in Philly. That was just taken care of. So we moved to this fucking-ass fucking town. And we didn't realize we need to file our own local taxes. But what's even better is my husband would get letters telling him what local taxes he would own, and I wouldn't. So I was like, I guess I don't own local taxes. And if you pay local taxes, you might be like, you dumb bitch, why would you think you don't? You know what? Because I didn't live in this fucking little town where you're going to file your own little local taxes. So anyway, I try and file my local taxes, and they were like, you can't. You don't have a local tax filing number.
Oh, because you don't work. Or you don't have like, an employer.
Yeah, I'm like, who the fuck would know any of it? No one knows this without you telling them. Yeah. I would, if my husband did not get letters, I would live here forever not thinking I owe local taxes. So I'm still trying to figure out my taxes, and I'm trying to get audited at some point. I didn't pay local taxes last year. I'm going to try and pay them this year, and then try and pay them last year, but yeah, if I don't get audited in my lifetime, it'll be a fucking miracle. So that's how I am. Also, I called TurboTax yesterday, who's not in charge of your local taxes, but they said I to contact someone about getting this number, and I don't even understand. If you don't know taxes, you don't even know what you don't know. So I asked the lady who I paid TurboTax many hundreds, just like, can you help me? And the initial people I talked to in TurboTax didn't even know what the fuck I was talking about. So I'm just like, I'm gonna just kill myself. So
always the best answer.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how I am. I'm fine, but as soon as I get off this podcast, I get to talk about my taxes. So fuck me. I've never owed so many taxes in my life. You've made so little. Such a tiny amount of money. Guys, I make so little money, you'd be like, what? Yet I owe so many taxes that it's so cruel. Anyway, I made this year, like, pre-taxes, as much as I made post-taxes in my first job. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
It's real,
yeah.
If I said it right, it's real bad. Anyway, let's move on.
Well, something that always lifts our spirits is a phone call. So here's one from Alex, and it's in relation to last episode, but I'll let him explain.
Okay.
Hi, this is Alex. I'm listening to the episode on Frazzle Drip, and I just got to the part where Pete said to just call in with your guess as to what Frazzle Drip is, and so here it is. So I think that the conspiracy is that Wawa is serving a special type of coffee on a secret menu called Frazzle Drip, and they make it seem like it's just really caffeinated, and they're trying to get teenagers to get hooked on this coffee, but actually it also contains drugs in it that make them more susceptible to being kidnapped. Okay, I'm going to listen to the episode and see how well I did. Thanks, bye.
What I love is midway. I must have so many things in my mind simultaneously that I could barely function as a human. Midway through that very short call, I forgot that we asked Alex to guess what the conspiracy theory was. And I was like, why would Alex assume it was that deep? And then I realized, I thought that Alex was saying in his mind that he thought that was really happening for a moment. And then I realized, what is wrong with you? So all that went through my mind in those fleeting moments. I really like that guess, Alex. That's really fun.
Yes. I also like putting it on Wawa and making it sort of like a regional type of thing.
Very specific about the Wawa. Yeah, like this would only apply to, like, I don't even know where Wawas are. Are they outside of Pennsylvania?
They're in New Jersey, too.
Okay, so
they're in other places.
This is a Hillary Clinton conspiracy that only applies to Northeast USA.
Marissa, I don't have an icebreaker, but I do have a call from Mike Vino. So
okay,
we're going to use Mike's question as our icebreaker. Okay. And it's not – look, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. It's not like a super sophisticated question that we can
don't insult him.
Pontificate on. It's more like an advice situation.
Okay.
Hi, Marissa and Pete. This is one of the Michaels from Patreon. I was just doing some cleaning, and I found that I still had a couple boxes of the Coca-Cola Oreos. Ooh. And looking online real quickly, I think they're no longer sold. So I was wondering if you have any opinions on whether I should keep them and try to resell them for a profit in the future, or if I should just eat them or bring them into the office and let my co-workers eat them. What is the best course of action? I should say, I think they were fine, nothing special, but I wouldn't mind eating some more of them. My children absolutely did not like them, and they will not eat them. I feel like Marissa maybe has some knowledge in this area about collectible food. Thanks for everything. Bye.
Okay, the way you understood that, did he have multiple boxes?
Yeah, like packages.
Well, then I would 100% say, like, share some and keep at least one. I mean, they're not, they don't sell them anymore. I mean, they might, unless, like, some people haven't taken them off the shelves, but, like, they're not actually being sold anymore. I will say, which I'm assuming you saw, none of them have really, like, went up in price heavy duty. But, I mean...
You mean like on resale?
Yeah, like the resale, like I see a box $20 now, which I mean, that would definitely be a profit. But like, I don't see any, like, some of them, let's see, yeah, like a tiny sleeve is $5. I've seen multiple people selling one pack or two packs for $20. So I would say it's not like off the charts yet, but might as well hold on to it. I'd say at least one of them. Yeah. So I'd say do a little of both.
I would, personally, I would not eat them because I still have bad memories of the red side. of the Oreo. But I would sit on them for at least a couple more years. Like, if you just found them, put them back where you found them and pretend they're not there.
Yeah.
Because you need, like, a whole cycle of people to go through and forget what it tasted like, and then you'll be able to sell them.
And the reason why I'm also saying, like I said, even though they didn't go up in price that much, like Pete's saying, wait for a bit. He did not mean to literally sit on them, just in case that wasn't clear.
Oh, yes, yes. That's your fourth option.
I listened to a podcast where, like, a nostalgia podcast, and there's this one guy who I know he's not the only one out there that will buy, like, he will buy, like, food that he definitely can't eat anymore just to say he has it from, like, the 80s, like gum from the 80s, like an Ecto Cooler from the 80s. Like, people will collect food that cannot be eaten anymore just to say that they still have something from the past fully intact. So, yeah, keep it for a while.
Yeah.
Someone will want it in 10, 20 years.
I would say, too, if you don't like your coworkers, you could bring them in because, again, I didn't really like them. But the other thing is, you know, like, if you're not popular at the office, then you can bring them in and it'll start conversations.
Yeah, that is true. Man, I would say if you had
people would be like, I can't believe that asshole brought us these horrible cookies.
Yeah, I forgot what
the cream is interesting, but what's with this red side?
I don't even remember what my review was, but I don't think I liked them particularly. But I did love the soda, so if you had the soda, I would be like, send them to me, I will pay you. But my understanding is you have the cookies, not the soda.
I have one can of the soda left.
Are you just, like, saving it for a special time?
No, I'm probably just going to give it to you eventually.
Ooh, man, I don't know if I did put ice cream in it, but if I didn't, I should have.
Well, Marissa, for today's topic, and I guess the audience too, for today's topic, I'm going to ask you for some grace, some time. If I were a certain type of person, I would tell you that my topic has to cook at the beginning.
Okay.
So, stay with me.
Okay.
But also, feel free to interrupt as usual.
Okay.
Alternative facts. I already messed up. Alternative facts was a phrase used by U.S. Counselor to the President Kellyanne Conway during a Meet the Press interview in January of 2017, in which she defended White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer's false statement about the attendance numbers at Donald Trump's first inauguration as President of the United States. When pressed during the interview with Chuck Todd to explain why Spicer would, quote-unquote, utter a provable falsehood, Conway said that Spicer was giving alternative facts. Todd responded, look, alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods.
Yeah, God, I forgot about this.
In a later article, Conway defended her choice of words where she reportedly stated, 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 1 = 4, partly cloudy, partly sunny. Glass half full, glass half empty. These are alternative facts.
No, what? No. No, it's... Okay. What a dumb bitch.
And while I don't think all of this started there, I think it is a memorable point. Cryptocurrency, Marissa, relies on blockchain. The philosophical roots of blockchain lie in decentralization, autonomy, and the potential to create a more equitable and inclusive global economic order.
I'm sure that's really what the main goal is.
Blockchain was envisioned as a way to challenge centralized power structures, whether they be political, financial, or institutional, and to empower individuals and communities by redistributing control and fostering cooperation without third parties trusted to be in charge. That's pretty punk rock, Marissa. Let's make a new financial system that isn't bound by the man.
Where the hell is Pete going with this topic?
Of course, 2024 saw crypto scams receive well over $9.9 billion.
Yeah, oh, I think if you're familiar with the whole weird thing that happened with Hawk Tua Girl, I think she was seen as innocent. Or not guilty, not innocent. Does that, I mean, I guess, not guilty, that's not quite the same. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
She should have been found guilty.
Anyway.
So, oh, imagine if we didn't have to work anymore, Marissa. That also feels kind of punk. If AI took over most jobs, then society...
Are you going to upset me? You've said punk twice.
I'm not... That's the last time, I think.
Okay.
If AI took over most jobs, then society would have to readjust so that we could spend more time, you know, taking it easy, focusing on hobbies and creative endeavors.
My job. I'm pretty sure I'm not taking it easy. I'm out of my fucking mind every day.
There would be an emphasis on community and social interaction, with less emphasis on your job giving you meaning.
That's so hilarious.
Of course.
I'm sorry. In this world, who's paying you?
That's, of course, what Google Gemini says about the future with AI.
Don't get me... Nope.
There's not much thought given to who would have the money to spend on products anymore, but that's because it posits that there would be a universal basic income to provide a regular, unconditional income to all citizens, ensuring basic needs are met.
The United States would fucking never. The United States would never let people be equal in that regard.
In the beginning of March, WWE fans watched as John Cena turned heel. He was beloved by children, tied to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he was basically a company mascot. He's the voice of Honda, and he's fighting raccoons with hefty bags in commercials. Yet, there he was, telling fans that he had been used and abused for too long. Not just all fans, but one fan in particular.
What is happening? I still don't know where this is going.
What have you ever done to support me, huh?
I love you!
Everybody, including that one kid right there, is a toxic, dysfunctional relationship.
What? Pete, what the fuck am I looking at?
So this kid says, I love you, John, to John Cena, and then John Cena points at the kid and tells
really
him
weird.
That he's in a toxic relationship with him.
That was weird, real fucking weird.
So some of these things are shocking, right? Because that's John Cena representing good, turning bad, right? Some of the things are shocking, but all of them are destabilizing.
And that was a joke, I would assume.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
And in 2023, there were mustard Skittles. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is that popular food brands may also be contributing to destabilizing society. And some people, like Marissa, are absolutely here for it.
Oh, yeah, I am. So get over it, bitch. You mentioning that and me, like, vaguely remembering it, but knowing I didn't try them is heartbreaking.
Some say that brand collaborations began in 1924, when wine brands teamed with artists to make labels for their bottles. Not to make them, but, you know, their paintings would be on the labels.
Sign them.
The world of art met the world of industry. No longer did you have to go to the museum to see art. You just needed to find a bottle of wine.
Calm down.
And your wine now came with culture included. But
again,
I hear you.
Calm down.
I hear you. You think in 1924, how did brand collaboration destabilize society then? Well, I can't draw a direct comparison, but one easy contribution back then is that that was the year that Adolf Hitler was sentenced to prison for his involvement in a failed coup d'etat by the Nazi Party.
Okay.
And we know what happened with him after that, right?
You want to tell us, sir?
I just thought that for a second. What if she says no? Another of the things that happened that year, a key societal shift, if you will, was that J. Edgar Hoover was appointed to be the head of the FBI. Despite his legacy of contributions to the FBI, he's also been criticized for abusing that power with illegal surveillance and creation of blacklists. According to an FBI memo, the agency was to, quote, expose, disrupt, misdirect, and discredit or otherwise neutralize the radical fight for black rights and black power. Again.
I mean, the head of our FBI now is Kash Patel, so I don't even...
Touché, Marissa.
Yeah.
Now, you might think that brand collaborations are inevitable, and I think you're probably right. Like, artists combining with wine labels is great. I feel like it's an innovative use of collaboration.
You know what's better? Pizza Hut collaborating with wine.
Taco Bell working with Doritos just kind of makes sense to me. But as society crumbles, we find ourselves seeing various collaborations that don't make any sense.
Tell me, which ones?
My main sources for this are Wikipedia, which I used above, and now we're going out to Eater. From an article from Eater, it says, according to retail company THG, which primarily sells cosmetics and dietary supplements online, brands across the board have been increasingly collaborating on products to reach different markets. There's Peeps Pepsi, there's Dr. Pepper Peeps, Van Leeuwen teamed up with Kraft Mac and Cheese, and Hidden Valley Ranch to make ice creams of
yes,
after those flavors. IHOP and Lay's teamed up for Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Chips. There's Reese's.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Reese's and also Hershey's Chips Ahoy cookies. And Hormel.
Yeah, but that's delicious.
Hormel and Cinnamon Toast Crunch made bacon. And every single PepsiCo product, from Funyuns to Smart Foods to Ruffles, has a Flaming Hot variety.
Yeah.
So while facts are misrepresented, and good becomes bad, and critical thinking is on life support, we see things like Dunkin's Scrub Daddy Sponge rise to the surface.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is shitty.
It's a distortion of expectations. Where's the coffee in the sponge? Like, coffee stains things, it doesn't clean them, so why would I put these two products together?
I mean, coffee isn't known to stain. That's not coffee's main purpose.
Right, but when it comes to the idea of cleaning, that's what
yeah.
I think of.
Okay.
Observers say that these collaborations help brands reach new audiences, but who has that much brand loyalty to Dunkin' or Scrub Daddy that they're going to buy that product?
I agree. Though I will say, I don't like Subway, but holy shit, did you see that Subway has a foot-long Dorito nacho thing? Because
no.
I'm going to go for that. That makes me want to go to Subway.
If anything, this sort of brand collaboration makes the consumer pause and ask, what is this?
Speak for yourself.
And while you're asking the questions that I posed before, you're not thinking about how your rights are eroding and your government is considering taking over an otherwise peaceful country to obtain shipping routes to up towards the Arctic because allegedly non-existent climate change is melting the ice and making those routes easier to traverse.
See, the thing is, I'm thinking about that all the time. So these fucking nonsense brand collaborations just give me but a moment of respite from the torment in my mind.
Okay. I have a slightly different possible. I might win you over a little bit later.
Okay.
But I won't for now.
Okay.
These shock flavors serve one purpose, continuing in that article. To get the consumer to buy one more. Says Russell Zwanka, the director of Western Michigan University's Food and Marketing Program. I'm
oh,
sorry.
For sure.
Food Marketing Program. It's not food and marketing together. Like,
okay.
Releasing a new product that is.
I'm sorry, that seemed funny. I didn't. Go ahead.
Releasing a new product that is not a shock flavor is based upon research and development and whatever the customers are looking for. But something like Apple Jack's Pop-Tarts isn't about giving a customer what they want. It's about leveraging brand recognition, a scattershot form of chasing sales, focused on the thrill of trying something new, and in all likelihood it being gross. It's a dare from the grocery aisle that says, ew, taste this, and then you do.
Maybe that's why I love it, because like growing up, I was that person that you could dare to drink a cup of all the condiments that you mix together, or like some
most notably Marissa ate glass.
Yeah, I was like, or I would put things in my mouth that were on the floor that people dared me to, like glass. So food is my more grown-up, less dangerous way of doing that.
Although with you, it is dangerous because of your dietary restrictions.
Well, yeah. Like, I wasn't supposed to eat those Oreos, but I had to. So, yeah, sometimes it does push me to the brink, but, you know. And boy, did I get heartburn from those Flamin' Hot Dill Pickled Cheetos. Why do I not stop eating them?
What you find here is that there's safety in buying the one that you always buy, like the regular chips, and then you pick up the new one. Essentially, what they've tricked you into doing is buying two instead of one. These collaborations work really well with food and drink because, like, buying Flaming Hot Mountain Dew is a risk. It's a low risk. Mm-hmm. But if you were to buy a Sour Patch Kids BMW, there's too much of a vast difference to really make that work.
I don't like cars. That's a blanket statement. I don't like cars. That's the truth, and I stick by it. But if I had to buy a car, and if the only thing that made a Sour Patch Kid was like, I mean, I wouldn't buy a BMW. Like, he would fuck himself. But like, if there was like a really brightly, you can cut out everything. Because I was gonna say a really brightly colored car would be fun. Like, that was what I would imagine a collaborative Sour Patch Kid car would be. But I realize because I drive so bad, I don't like cars that garner attention.
And like the level of collaboration I would expect from BMW in that situation is that like there might be like a little seal somewhere on the driver's side door that would just be like a Sour Patch Kids logo.
Well, yeah, BMW would never be cool enough to even try to have like an actual fun collaboration. They would only collaborate with like something bougie and obnoxious, like Rolex, like
Nescafe.
Okay, that was funny.
So basically they're saying, like, if you spend a few bucks on a new product and you don't like it, you just move on. Okay. And as Marissa can attest, most of these collaborations are available for a limited time, which further pressures shoppers to pick something up ridiculous that they may never see again.
Yeah, me, and because I now review snacks, me and my husband feel, because he's in this, because he feels like he's in it with me, we become stressed out because we feel like we got to get the stuff before they stop selling it. Mm-hmm. But also, every time we go to the grocery store, like, we're buying so much bullshit now. So, yeah, I'm a victim. I am a clown. We do get chips, like, every time we go to the grocery store now, and we do have, like, 20 bags of chips in our house, which we definitely wouldn't beforehand. Fine.
And he's a cardiologist. He knows the damage that sodium can do.
Yeah.
So at its core, this destabilization is actually fueled by capitalism, by tricking you into buying more shit. And that's the only monoculture that exists anymore. And it seems like you have no choice but to participate. Consumer data shows that collaborations are particularly effective with Gen Z and millennial consumers, with 60% reporting that they have purchased special edition releases. And the figure is still 40% with Gen X, so it's still pretty solid.
Wow, I'm surprised that they can even be bothered. Gen X is usually pretty, like, it has their shit together and doesn't bother with bullshit.
The ADM Group, a marketing agency, says that to make a successful brand collaboration, it's essential that you find the right partner, the right price, and the ever-important drop. Just Beyond Paradise Winery collaborated with Pizza Hut to make wine that sold out to make, tomato wine, right?
Yeah.
That sold out the same day that it was released. And this is great for an average winery in Kansas. It's also no loss for Pizza Hut. But it sure does take headlines away from the Russia, Ukraine, and Israel's invasion of Lebanon.
Again, I don't dispute that, but I just feel like life is... Well, no, I would say life is so terrible, I like this dumb shit, but I do also hate capitalism, so I do know I'm being a hypocrite. I know it!
Applejacks, Honey Smacks, and Eggo all release ice cream versions the same month that the President of the United States guts the office of the Education Department that investigates civil rights violations that affect students with disabilities.
Mm, okay.
Oreos released a Post Malone variety that I guess would taste like face tattoos in the same month that regulatory agencies in the government were undermined and forced to work with the White House to support their agenda.
I think they were like caramel flavored, for the record.
It kind of reminds me of the everything is cake trend.
That for some reason led to a fucking game show. Did you ever see that? That was sad.
And everything is cake taps into a psychological phenomenon where the viewer's expectations are subverted, creating a sense of visual confusion. Everything is cake plays with our perceptions of reality, creating a cognitive dissonance. We initially expect an object to be what it appears, but the reveal of cake disrupts our expectations. Suddenly, anything could be cake.
Okay.
The mental discomfort from holding conflicting beliefs or behaviors can lead to negative emotional states like anxiety, stress, and regret. Okay. And they can also manifest as a rationalization, avoidance, or changes to beliefs or behaviors that would reduce the discomfort. Meaning,
what are you quoting in this?
Meaning, I'll just go along with this whole crazy government thing because it's easier and because, you know, nothing feels real anymore.
Because it's easier than everything being cake.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
I don't know, but sure.
Perhaps the glut of collaborations is a natural side effect of the quote-unquote line goes up forever expectation of modern businesses. It's not enough to provide a good product to the people who want it and sustain your business on that. There always has to be something new. Be a new acquisition, a collaboration, something that makes the company bigger and bigger.
Ooh, now that you say that, it annoys me more because I remember, it's not really the same, but when I worked, I had a corporate job. Well, no, every job, basically. Well, yeah, every corporate job, every year you need to set new goals. And I kept just being like, can I just fucking do my job? Why does my job need to keep expanding every year? You don't pay me more all the time. But I somehow need to, like, be better every year? Like, what? Like, I just wish. I really hate this country, but I'm not going to go into this. Yeah, I just wish, like, things could just be. And you could just, like, do things really well and just focus each year on doing them better. But not, like, expanding the scope of everything every year.
Not taking on totally different responsibilities that have nothing to do with what you were hired for.
Yeah. Like, calm down. Yeah.
If you start a job and then 5 years later you leave that job, they shouldn't have to update the job description with the shit that you do now. You should still be doing... Anyway.
Yeah.
That's capitalism for you, right? The fallacy of always growing refers to the mistaken belief that continuous economic or population growth is both necessary and sustainable, especially on a finite planet with limited resources. It just doesn't work. PepsiCo has raised their prices on snacks every quarter for 2 years, and a novelty chip, once a thoughtless addition to the cart, is now a bigger chunk of the week's food budget, isn't it, Marissa?
Yeah, this is very expensive.
And as the trend continues, the obvious pairings have already been done. The only collaborations that are left are ones that become weirder and weirder. Like, why did Lipton Iced Tea collaborate with the streetwear brand Cruel Pancake to make retro style sweatshirts?
Okay, but that doesn't sound terrible. Would I buy it? No, but it doesn't. There are worse things.
Yeah.
Like, I think Gummy Bears. It was a troll. Haribo. I think Haribo collaborated with Crocs.
Oh yeah, Crocs has a few of them out there.
All I gotta say is I don't know what you want me to take out of this episode, but. Recently, I want to live in this country less and less, and I was explaining that, like, if I was single, I'd be out of this country tomorrow. So if you just want me to further not want to live here, you're getting there. You're helping that.
The Chipotle and Wonderskins lip stain launch generated 43 million impressions on Instagram. And TikTok.
I didn't know they had that.
1.1 billion earned media impressions total. But crucially, it, quote, helped increase visibility for Chipotle in Western Europe, where it is still considered an emerging brand, said Stephanie Perdue, Vice President of Brand Marketing at Chipotle.
Interesting.
Yet recently, also in Western Europe, the U.S. Embassy in Paris sent a shocking letter to a number of French companies demanding that they comply with the Trump administration's anti-DEI policies if they want to continue contracts with the federal government.
What a bunch of losers.
That means that Chipotle is better at international relations than the current U.S. government.
Oh, my God.
So what are we to do, Marissa, about this conundrum?
Die?
Dying sounds so easy.
I don't know.
I don't think that it's too late. While we ease into letting AI take over our lives, and we blur the definition of truth, and money turns into ones and zeros, here are my pitches. Human rights violation Oreos.
Oh, God.
McDonald's, this is what equity means, meals.
Okay.
Reese's brown deportation peanut butter cups.
Ooh, nice.
Mr. Clean's constitutional magic scrubber.
Did you make all these up yourself?
North Face's global warming puffer.
I mean, that one, yeah.
And Flamin' Hot 22nd Amendment Cheetos.
Oh, I feel like also Flamin' Hot Cheetos could make a global warming tie-in.
Mm-hmm, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Each of these products would have information about those destructive trends. And they would cause disruption as well, but they might do it for change. Maybe having a child slave carved into your Oreo will make you think about what's going on and whether or not you support it.
Like a picture of a child slave in the Oreo? Okay.
With, okay, you know, as much detail as you can get on an Oreo. Yes.
You make these up? Okay. Very nice.
So, of course, yes, that topic was very silly, but this is a point where I wanted to ask Marissa about some upcoming brand collaborations. The only two that I brought to the table was Twinkies candy bars and Sprite iced tea.
Wait, yes, there is Sprite iced tea, but that's not actually a brand collaboration. That's just a flavor, isn't it?
Oh, you're right. It's more of a crossover, yeah.
I unfortunately...
Which is surprising that they didn't tie a brand in for that.
I know. And, I'm probably going to have to try that, but I don't think that sounds like good. So none of mine are up and, you mentioned ones that already exist, right? I thought I needed to find ones that hadn't launched yet, which I don't really have. But, like I mentioned before, there is a foot-long Dorito collaboration with Subway, which if you haven't seen it, it's like a foot-long box of Doritos with nacho toppings. I am not sure whether you get to choose the topic.
How narrow is the box?
It's pretty narrow. Like, it's not, like, super narrow. Mm-hmm. But it looks delicious. Well, no, I'm sorry. I thought it looked delicious. I watched a review and people said it looked gross, but I like trash. I'm not sure whether you could customize the topping Subway style or whether they're predetermined. But I'm into that. Mm-hmm. There's also Haribo Crocs, which, like, they're clear like a gummy bear. This is less exciting and probably doesn't mean that much to many people, but this is part of a weird story that's a slight tangent, but, periodically we get boxes from Macy's addressed to Aaron that he didn't buy, which he tells me I'm not allowed to open because it could be bombs and he's not laughing. And then I say, call your mom. She probably forgot our address was in her Macy's from Christmas, and she mailed it to us by mistake. The first time it was a shirt. That was a very unique shirt. And I said, like, we'll save it for you. We'll give it, because it was his mom. We'll save it for you when you come. And she's like, no, don't worry about it. You have it. It wasn't really my style.
Yeah.
And I didn't take it, and she came. And I said, oh, we have the shirt for you. And she's like, no, you take it. And I was like, I don't want it. And so she offered it to my mom. And my mom was like, maybe she meant to send it to you. And then very recently, we got a box of cosmetics and creams from Macy's. And Aaron's like, is this you, mom? And she goes, give it to your wife. And so I don't
give
understand
it to
what's
your
happening.
Dry, ugly wife.
So yeah, I don't understand what's happening. But if she's really sending it to me on purpose, or whether she keeps sending it to us by mistake but then doesn't want to take them back, either way, a little strange. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I mention this now is because it was a La Durie Estee Lauder collaboration, which La Durie is a French macaroon company. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. And I looked at it, but the only thing that was La Durie was, like, a bag that the cosmetics came in. So, like, I thought, like, ooh, they'd, like, lean into macaroons, like, be something real cool. Because sometimes brand collaborations are very underwhelming. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, why did you even bother? Let's see, is there anything else I can think of? Oh, I did see that there was a Doritos Taco Bell fry that had pieces of Dorito in the fries.
Okay.
But that was like a Spain exclusive. That's not actually available in the United States.
Yeah, and I can't tell if these square Oreos are going to be in America.
Ooh, what square? Oh, Minecraft? Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, where let me look really quick on my main man Snackalator to see if there's any others I'm missing. Oh wait, yeah, these are Doritos Flaming Hot Loaded Fries. They're a South African exclusive. Yeah, these square Minecraft Oreos. One square and drop. Promotional ones for the they were given away in London.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not sure if they're gonna come here, but yeah, I don't.
I feel like I saw a package for Minecraft Oreos, but there was nothing to indicate that they were a different shape, so I didn't really think about it.
Minecraft has a... why is everything not in the U.S.? There are Minecraft McFlurries overseas, and, I'm gonna say I'm a little tempted. Starbucks does have a Snoopy collaboration.
Yes, yes. I could see you.
It's not in the United States. You could fuck yourself. They have, like, these Snoopy
macaroons. One more reason for me to move out of the United States.
Fuck! It's in Korea. It's these Snoopy Frappuccinos with little Snoopies on top. Don't tempt me to go back to Korea. My gosh. So, yeah. That's all I got for you at the moment. Oh, wait, there's Baconator Cheez-Its?
Oh.
Okay, that's happening too. So there we go. That's a fair amount for you.
So yeah, I think all of these things are messing with our perception of reality. And good luck, everybody. You know what? Let it. Because reality sucks shit.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, if you didn't know why I was excited about Baconator Cheez-Its, that's a Wendy's collaboration, if you are not in the weeds.
If you're not Pete.
Yes. Yeah, everything's horrible. So what's one more horrible thing on top, huh? That was a very circuitous way to get to your topic, but I dug it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Plugs.
Got any plugs? I hope it's like a brand collaboration.
I will say, though, when it comes to brands, Marissa and I are sad to report that the podcast has to change in some way, and we don't know how yet, because Microsoft is killing Skype.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And Marissa and I refuse to use Teams.
Yeah, Teams. I will have PTSD from my last fucking job.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that end is near, and we'll miss
when
you,
is Skype. That happening?
End of May.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty soon. Okay.
Yeah. But when it comes to plugs, I saw this really affecting movie. It's called The Rule of Jenny Penn. And the description says, confined to a secluded rest home and trapped within his stroke-ridden body, a former judge must stop an elderly psychopath who employs a child's puppet to abuse the home's residents with deadly consequences.
I don't like this.
And I was hooked.
Okay.
It stars Jeffrey Rush and John Lithgow. And I don't like John Lithgow, but because he's a bad guy, it was okay. Because he looks like a bad guy to me.
Yeah, I can see that. Jeffrey Rush. Oh, okay.
It was just like a really good mix of isolation, the powerlessness of, you know, your body kind of betraying you, this sense of justice and fighting an oppressive power. I really liked it. It's probably like the highest rated movie I've ever rated on Letterboxd.
Wait, I'm sorry. Which one's the puppet guy?
John Lithgow.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Unfortunately, everybody, it's on Shudder/AMC+. So you're never going to see it, but it was good.
Wait, are Shudder and AMC Plus the same thing now?
If you get AMC Plus, you get Shudder with it.
If you get Shudder, do you get AMC Plus?
No.
Okay.
And it costs like a dollar less if you just get Shudder solo. So it doesn't make any sense to get Shudder.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
How about you, Marissa? Anything?
I'm going to anti-plug peanut butter and jelly Reese's peanut butter cups, which aren't terrible, but they're just not worth it. And the jelly.
I was surprised that you rated them so high.
Because they weren't bad.
Yeah.
But they just weren't worth it. And the jelly is not the consistency of jelly. It's the consistency of like caramel.
Yeah. It looks real gross.
Oh, you guys
want to
see
the video on our Patreon.
Yeah, yeah. You guys want to hear something very dark and troubling?
Sure.
This is not a plug, but I'm giving it to you anyway. So I have recently, if you see on the Patreon, started reviewing snacks, and that means I have to edit videos of myself. And I can see that I have started developing nervous tics. So that is fun. I already knew I had developed one nervous tic, but there's another facial tic I've developed that is similar to my mother's facial tic that she has. We are a very nervous family. But yeah, I noticed that. And you're like, oh, if you're like, I want to see that, which you're cruel if you do. I think I successfully edited it out of all my videos. But yeah, I have this weird facial tic now that I only learned through editing videos of myself. But I'm going to plug something happy.
That's probably the only reason that people pay other people to edit their videos.
Yeah, it was like, that was dark. I was like, what the fuck? I do so many things with my face. I'm going to plug eating ice cream every day.
I support it.
We now do in this house. I did find I'm going to actually plug. Oh, wait, I don't remember what it's called. Because I try to eat ice cream every day now, but I try not to die. There's a low sugar variety that is not Halo Top. It's better than Halo Top. Ooh, let me go look. It's important. If you are an aging person and are trying not to eat as terrible as you used to, but you still have, you know, want to eat trash, I recommend Nyx.
Yes, my mom likes Nyx.
Yeah, it's Swedish style light ice cream. It is way better than Halo Top. Halo Top kind of tastes shitty. Yeah, and it's low sugar. So I'm going to recommend that. Me and my husband are both having a hard time in life. But then we have ice cream time.
Yeah.
And make things better. So, yeah.
The last time I had Halo Top, it wasn't horrible. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes it just tastes like frozen flakes of flavor, so, I guess.
Yeah. And like you said, it's not terrible, but like some of their flavors are lame. Like their strawberry is horrible, and I love strawberry, so Nyx has very good strawberry. Man, but listen how fucking old we are, though. Like, I have to have a low-sugar ice cream, I have to make sure it's gluten-free, and I need to take 2 lactate pills, or else that ice cream will destroy me. And then Aaron can't even be bothered with lactate pills. He has to have dairy-free ice cream, so we just have such specific ice cream because our bodies just don't like us.
Yeah.
So, anyway, guys, you can call us at 570-POD-WAD-1 before I keep, let me cut myself off. 570-POD-WAD-1 to give us any feedback, any thoughts, to tell us your favorite or most abhorred brand collab.
Yeah.
You can email us at
y'allheardpod@gmail.com. You can also look us up on Patreon, because we just lost $1 a month.
Yeah, we just lost $1 that didn't make sense for us to have. I canceled it? I was like, Pete's trying to be like, why'd you cancel? And then I was like, why am I on this? Anyway, yeah. So you can, on Patreon, you can see Pete's previews. You can have Pete's ruins a movie. And I review snacks.
Yes.
That is the only thing that I could do with any consistency.
Because gossip's all about young people now, and we don't know who they are.
Yeah, I don't even know if I discussed with you like that why I don't look at it anymore. It's not all that, but it's like, yeah, it's half something I care about and half people I don't know. And I'm just like, ah, this is boring. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't look at celebrity gossip as much as I used to. But as always, you can slide into my DMs at RissVandal. You could see my Instagram or you could ask me for my TikTok. But actually, you don't need my TikTok because we put all my snack videos on Patreon. So never mind. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye.